Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call to order the Alaska State Legislature Legislative Council. Today is March 21st, 2013. Time is a few minutes after 4 p.m. We're meeting in the Senate Finance Room, 532 in Juneau. I am Representative Mike Hawker chairing today. And Madam Secretary, if you would please call our roll.
Representative
Chenault. Here. Here.
Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Pruitt.
Here.
Representative
Stoltz.
Representative Wilson.
Senator Huggins.
Here.
Senator Cogdell.
Here.
Senator Egan.
Here.
Senator McGuire.
Here.
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair McGee.
Here.
Chair Hawker.
Present.
So,
we do have a quorum to conduct business, and I appreciate that everyone is having, it's in the middle of a legislative session, it's a busy time, but the business of the legislature continues, and we've got a couple things that are important for us to get done at this committee as well here today. What I'd like to start with is we're going to go down our standard agenda. First item of business is the approval of the minutes from the February 6, 2013 meeting. Vice Chairman Michicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the minutes from the Legislative Council meeting on February 26, 2013 be approved as presented.
So the question before the committee is the approval of the minutes from the February 26, 2013 Legislative Council meeting. Is there objection? Hearing see none, those minutes are approved. We have a couple of business items that we need to get to today, and then I want to keep the committee informed on administrative matters that this committee certainly at the end of the day is going to bring business back to this committee. First item we have is a contract approval. This relates to the Anchorage LIO facility lease. So we all know that facility is the major facility that's used during the summer outside of Juneau. It's one of our larger facilities around the state. That I'll make a quick comment, and then I'd like to have a presentation. Which one of your people, Pam, is going to be presenting on this one? And with apologies, I always neglect technology. We've got all of our LAO folks back there, including Ms. Varney. So, Pam, who would you like to have come present on the LIO lease? So, Tina, would you please come forward? And in short here, our LIO lease up there, as I think everybody that's been on this committee before knows, I think it's we have a lease expiration date coming. We need to authorize an extension of that lease. So, Ms. Strong.
For the record, my name is Tina Strong, and I'm the procurement officer for Legislative Affairs Agency. And Mr. Chairman, the Anchorage lease renewal expires on May 31st, 2013, and we have one renewal option remaining that would terminate on May 31st, 2014.
And that was quick.
That was all I had.
For our committee here, and the provisions that this extends under, are they not contractual with us at the moment? It's a formality for us to accept that one-year option that we have remaining on our existing lease, that the standard lease term expires May 31st, 2013.
2014, correct.
Well, okay, the current lease term, 2013, we have a one-year extension to May 31st, 2014.
Yes.
And do we have any real options to move the LIO to between now and May 31st?
No.
Down the street.
Does the committee have any comments or suggestions? Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Really, this is a question, I'm not just to Ms. Strong, but to all of us. It is going to expire May 31st of 2014, which isn't very long after the legislature will adjourn, sign, or die, particularly if, God forbid, there's a special session. That could put us into a situation where really we are in a tough spot. And I'm wondering if it would be in order to suggest to see if we could get a month or two extra on that and do it now when we have, may have a little more leverage, rather than just trying to do it when we're right up against it. It might give us a little more option, and it's just a thought, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Grunberg, there has been a long, there's been a procurement process underway for quite some time. We have, at my the last meeting here, we appointed a subcommittee steering committee on this topic. I'll have a few comments later on in the meeting, but if you would allow me to defer that to later on in the meeting, you know, we can address the future of the Anchorage LIO and a few more clarifying comments. Senator Michiki, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council authorize the Chairman to approve a one-year renewal of the existing lease agreement for the Anchorage Legislative Office for the cost of $681,854.16.
The question before the committee is the approval of the Anchorage LIO lease extension in accordance with our existing contract. Is there objection? Hearing see none, that is so authorized. Thank you very much. Ms. Lucky, we'd like to bring you forward. This gets is going to be a little bit of a sticky wicket as we go forward into this one, and thank goodness we've got Julie, the chair of our IT subcommittee, to explain what is before us. In past legislative councils, there has been a extensive discussion of what the legislature's policy is for the access and use of social media by legislators and legislative agencies. And then as a ancillary issue, there is a specific issue that has been addressed, considered but not resolved by the legislative council regarding access specifically to Facebook accounts. What I would like to do is have Ms. Lucky give us the grounding and put before us the IT subcommittee's recommendations for our moving forward on the issues of social media and Facebook access. So, Ms. Lucky, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky, and I am staff to Representative Mike Hawker, District 27, and today I am testifying as the chair of the IT subcommittee. We did provide you in your packet a few documents. I provided a memo that goes over the history of access issues and kind of highlights some of the actions that council has taken to date. At this time, legislators, the press offices, webmasters, and information services help desk continue to have access to Facebook from legislative computers. And this is really the crux of the matter, is access from legislative computers. The IT subcommittee met on February 28th and discussed the following three issues that were identified. Let me back up just a little bit. There have been some discussions in council, and we have the current status, but to date we have received requests from three legislative agencies, the Ombudsman, Legislative Ethics, and Legislative Audit, that believe that Facebook access to Facebook from the state computers will help further their missions. And so this is outside of access issues for legislators and staff. I'm not sure if agency access issues have been previously discussed. Most of the discussion that I found in the minutes has been regarding legislators and staff.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Senator Egan, sir.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Are we working on the revision that came in the 20th?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Egan, yes. What I'm trying to do is kind of set the stage for why we came to that policy. But the policy in front of you should be the revision dated 3/20. There should be a revision date in the corner of the policy document.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we do not have a request letter in the packet, but I also did talk to the Office of Victims' Rights, and they also find Facebook access to be useful in furthering their mission. Legislative staff and legislators have also talked to us about this issue. There are several legislators that have Facebook pages. At this time, their staff must go to their computer and log in or use a handheld device or a personal computer in order to get onto Facebook to do what they consider to be their job. What the legislator considers to be the staff's job, not the staff considers to be their job. I did go over a comprehensive list of issues in the memo, which I can reiterate, but since you do have the memo in your packet, I wasn't planning on doing that unless there are some questions about the issues. The IT subcommittee met on February 28th and discussed, it kind of boiled down to three issues. The first is, should the legislature adopt a policy that would be legislature-wide to define acceptable uses, users, and content? Because many legislators' Facebook pages were considered to be the property of the individual legislator, this wasn't really an issue until we talked about agency access. But when you're talking about opening it up for staff to use and for agencies to use, we felt talking about a policy was a good idea. The second question was, who should have access? And if access is restricted, who should determine who can get access? This has been extensively discussed in Legislative Council to date. And the third issue is, should nonpartisan agencies of the legislature be allowed to have Facebook pages or social media accounts that are publicly visible? We felt that was an issue that was separate from access, which, and you'll see in the documents in your folders, that for research purposes, we felt access was, most people felt that access by agencies for research purposes, for audit purposes, was really above board. A couple of the agencies have requested to actually have a Facebook presence to do outreach or to do recruitment for jobs. And so we felt that that was kind of a distinct issue from just accessing Facebook onto your computer. There were lots of differing views on these issues, but one view was unanimous, and that was that the council should take some definitive action. Unfortunately, there has not been definitive action taken. There was a trial period, and then basically the Facebook issue got taken off the agenda and kind of moved to other agendas. So the one consensus that the IT subcommittee could unanimously come to was that we hope that you'll be able to come to a resolution of this issue so that people understand when and how we can access Facebook or if that will be allowed. So there were three recommendations by the council, which these are also in your memo. The first is that the council should consider adopting a policy to define acceptable uses and users, and that's where we get to the draft policy, which is provided in your packets, and the current draft is dated 3/20. The second is that the council should consider providing a method for legislators and agency directors to grant access to their employees. A proposal brought before the council previously was to allow legislative council chair to authorize use. We felt that there was a middle ground between what some people wanted, which was open access for everybody, and what other people wanted, which was no access for anybody. And we felt that the supervisors of staff that were allowed to use Facebook should really determine who could use it and when they could use it, and therefore it shouldn't be legislative council's prerogative to sign an application. It should be up to the supervisor, the legislator, or agency director. The third consideration was regarding public Facebook pages for nonpartisan legislative agencies, and it was very difficult to come to a consensus on this. There were a lot of the IT subcommittee members didn't really understand the need. So our recommendation is that each agency be able to come and plead its case to Ledge Council, because each agency's needs and what they would be putting on that Facebook page is different. And so that's basically our recommendations to you. I'm available to answer any questions about the policy or go over the different tenets of the policy or the process that we use to come to these conclusions. We also have some people in the audience that can answer any technical questions about use of Facebook, how it impacts our information services, or we also do have the legislative auditor, Chris Curtis, here to answer any questions about her needs for the agency page.
So if I might add before taking questions here, Julie, as always, is incredibly detailed in this, so please feel free to drill down and putting it into language that we're all more familiar, more colloquial interpretations, if you would like. But what we are going to be looking at is the potential of two questions being brought before the committee here, and that is, one will be the whether the council should adopt the draft media policy here. Ms. Lucky also had the media guidelines, which are already effectively in force. But the question is, do we want to adopt a policy that gives, as was described there, an overriding policy out of this body, out of this administrative committee, that essentially allows the utilization of social media? Then secondly, as a separate issue, is whether we are going to allow legislators and agency directors access to Facebook in particular, from legislative committees and a methodology for allowing Facebook access? Because at the moment, the standard for the legislature coming from this committee in the past was that Facebook was not allowed. So we've reached that juncture of hopefully resolving these issues today, and quite frankly, it's the will of the committee how you all feel about these topics. Senator McGuire, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Julie, for all your work on this that you've done, not just this year, but through all the years that I've been here. You've always been ahead of the times, and I appreciate that. So it's about time that we address this issue because, you know, those of us, at least in our generation, are using Facebook. And so what we have to do is circumvent the process to figure out how to communicate effectively with our constituents who are already using Facebook. And so whether or not we should adopt a policy is up to this committee. Those of us who effectively serve a certain group of constituents are already using it. My only concern would just be if we do adopt a policy that doesn't constrain how our office is already utilizing Facebook to effectively communicate. And so I just point to two places in the draft policy that I have a couple of concerns. The first would be Roman numeral number 3 regarding what's highlighted as a messaging policy, and it says messaging features of a social media account shall not be used for any communications to conduct official state business. I would just say right there, we do that all the time. I receive, and frankly, it's not me soliciting, but what will happen is I'll have constituents that will go into my messaging feature, both on my personal page and on my state senate page, and ask me, what's the status of John's Road construction? Or can you introduce a bill regarding the renaming of Minnesota Bypass, etc.? And it's on that particular page that I will then communicate with that constituent regarding official state business. And so I would just suggest respectfully that you'd have to modify that in order to meet the functions of how you use it as a lawmaker. And then finally, up in Roman numeral 1, sub B, the final little dot there, I guess it'd be the fourth dot down, it says any action that provides the following content is prohibited is B. Any action that provides a private benefit to any person or organization, including solicitations, endorsements, or promotions of products or services of financial, commercial, nonprofit, or non-governmental agencies. I have a big problem with that as well. We do a lot of things within our Facebook to help promote, for example, the Girl Scout troops within our community, Girls and Boys Club in our district. If they send to us a notification that they're going to have a mother-daughter tea or they're going to have a fundraiser coming up or a car wash, we will post that on our Facebook page and make that available to all of our constituents. Clearly that's a nonprofit, and clearly we're promoting them. So I just would say in the current form, at least in those two areas, I would object to the policy going in place because it would limit my First Amendment rights to communicate with my constituents.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator McGuire, I probably should have said this more in my preface document, my preface remarks, but the point of putting the policy, the draft policy, in front of the council was to bring up all of the various items that had been brought up as concerns so that we could have a platform with which to speak about them.
Excellent.
So I do not have any pride of authorship, nor should anybody feel that anything in this policy is my personal concern. Just so you understand, the process, I went through the NCSL site and through as many social media policies as I could find. I went through our ethics documents and tried to pull out, and our computer use, acceptable computer use documents, and pulled out those things. When people commented with a concern, and I'll talk about the number 3, the messaging policy, this was a concern that not that you would use the wall post to do, you know, hey, I'd like to see some construction, I'd like to see this bill. The concern was that, based on recent court cases, which I'm not going to go into that, that somebody would use a messaging feature to kind of hide something that they're doing from that was official state business. So they would use this, as they might use a private email account, to conduct business kind of under the radar. And if I don't know if Doug Gardner is here.
Yes.
And can speak. I did call, and the reason that we put this into the policy was to have the discussion. But when we talked about conducting official state business, it's my understanding that most legislative business is not official state business and therefore is not open to like a Freedom of Information Act request or record retention. The policy here was intended to only preclude doing that official state business, and I think we can talk about, and we talked about this on the phone, what was considered official state business that shouldn't be done using maybe a personal email account, and I believe it was procurement and contract negotiations. And I don't know if you have, if you want to.
Mr. Gardner, if you could put yourself on the record and explain the provision that Ms. Luckey is referring to.
My name is Doug Gardner, Director of Legal Services, and I spoke with your staff, Ms. Luckey, about this issue. And I think the concern, as you know, from time to time, we deal with records requests from your offices. I mean, it's not unusual that somebody wants legislators' records. And it's pretty easy to deal with it in a lot of contexts. I don't have a copy of the policy with me, but if records that are maintained by you in your possession are in your office, you don't have to provide those. Per the policy, they're not considered public records. That's based on legislative immunity, and we haven't had a lot of cases testing the scope of your legislative immunity, thankfully. When it comes to procurement, when it comes to employment issues, you probably don't have legislative immunity for that. And so what our concern is that by using this social media and Facebook, you're putting yourselves out there a lot more than you are when you have traditional paper records in your offices. When I spoke with Ms. Luckey, I think the concern was how to deal with that. And I don't think there's an easy way to deal with that. When you're communicating on Facebook, you're putting yourself out there. That's the point. But I think there's another component to it. And if you're out, you know, if you're a chair of a committee or you're working on a contract with a contractor and you're having communications with that person, say you want to hire PFC Energy and your staff is working on that, I think the concern is that those records are probably public records. They're not covered by immunity, and there may be a record-keeping requirement. I'm not trying to make this too complicated and too lengthy, but I think the way that you manage that problem is you don't use Facebook for that. I think if you're communicating with a constituent, the comments that Senator McGuire made, you know, obviously if you're communicating with a constituent, they may decide to post those things somewhere else on a website, and you're using judgment as to how you do that. I don't think people can get that record from your office.
So, Mr. Gardner, excuse me for interrupting you, but I've now got two great lawyers in the building. Is it an issue of what the definition of official state business is that's at the crux of this conversation?
I think that's probably a fair statement. And we may be able to define that, or I may be able to work with Ms. Luckey to narrow that so that Senator McGuire's concerns met, that we're not restricting the use to deal with constituent matters or things like that. We're just trying to avoid a situation where you all take on a record-keeping obligation for contracting or employment and things like that. That's the concern. It's a legislative immunity and records retention concern. We don't want to trigger that.
If I might.
Sorry, go ahead.
For the record, again, Julie Luckey from Representative Honker's office. One of the responses that we had to even including this messaging policy is that right now from legislative computers, any legislator could get onto a Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo or any free email account, and that would not be prohibited. So this is, and I think that Mr. Gardner did bring up the issues that were around why this plank was here. There were many people that believe that really this plank doesn't need to be part of the policy because Facebook doesn't necessarily open up another avenue with their private messaging that might not be open with a Gmail or a Hotmail account, and that instead we should be looking at this particular plank in our computer usage policy that would regard any sort of private messaging that could be accessed from a computer, not only messaging features of social media. And so what I might suggest if the council would like to move forward is possibly removing it from here and consider whether or not we need to look into a larger policy that would apply to more than just a social media messaging platform.
Representative Wilson, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't know where this kind of fits in all of this, but I've been forced kind of into a situation where I use my own email a lot for state business, and it's because I have an Apple computer. I'm used to my Apple computer. I don't use the state computers at all, but they will now let me, the IT people won't let me, allow me to use my Apple with state stuff, and so my when I'm like many times when I'm when I travel, and I travel a lot because my district is on several different islands, and so what my staff has to do to me is send me to my private the information that they get and need want to know where I'm at with it or whatever. They send it to my private email. I get it on my Apple computer, and I try to print it off and whatnot. There's been times when I was homesick, so they had to send it to me at homesick. I printed it out on my own personal computer at home or on my printer and do things, and then I have to send information back. And so it's back and forth, constantly. And that's only because I'm not allowed on the state's basis. And so, and that's very frustrating to me. I want to be able to get on. They won't even let me hook up to a printer in my office. The printer in the office that the rest of my staff use, they won't let me hook up to that printer even. And so I have to have another printer under my desk in my office that I have to crawl under there and get my stuff every time I want to print something off. It's very frustrating, and I'd like it to be fixed, but if it can't be fixed, then we have to allow me to be able to do business wherever I'm at in the state, and sometimes in the lower 48. So that's something that I've been forced into that I would rather not be doing.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just make a suggestion. I don't know if you're about to suggest it or not, but my suggestion would just be that I like Julie's recommendation. I think removing it from this policy now, in that there's no distinction between this outlet into the communication world that I can see between Gmail, Hotmail, LinkedIn, et cetera, they're all portals by which lawmakers and agencies communicate, so we should have one policy. I do understand Mr. Gardner's concern with respect to record retention. I think it applies to very few lawmakers, to be honest with you, the heads of LBNA, the heads of legislative affairs, and people who are conducting those high-level contract and procurement type things. We all do hire, though, however. And so I think it's a great thing to go back and look at a broad level. And I would also like to add that I am an Apple user myself, and I know other members are. So I would like to second Representative Wilson's, although we don't have seconds under Mason's, but the spirit of it, Representative Wilson's notion that we do ask the tech committee to look just a little bit more into pushing our dear Curtis Clothier and his team into how we could try to get some Apple users supported here in the building. I think that would be a really nice step to make here in the year 2013.
And thank you, and that's exactly the point I was going to make there, is that the non-standard equipment policy is a very much a separate issue than the access to social media that's before us at the moment. Very well noted, and it's certainly one of those policy points that we can, again, refer to our IT committee for further thought and consideration at the request of the members of this committee. But I would also, and again, in the context, we've had a conversation, Mr. Gardner, do you feel that it would be a fatal flaw or place the legislature at unnecessary risk if that messaging policy, item 3 on the social media policy, was deleted at this time for further consideration?
I do not. I do not. I think it could be placed elsewhere.
Okay. So before we go ahead and do any, you know, make any changes here, The other concern Senator McGuire brought forward talked about the content being action providing private benefit to organizations, including solicitation, endorsements, promotions. I suspect this is probably a fairly slippery slope as well, but also it's got some fine lines in it between what a legislator can do ethically in supporting organizations and what a legislator cannot do that oversteps our ethical bounds. And I would ask Mr. Gardner to give us his thoughts on that, and I would ask that perhaps you're able to frame that in the context of, might it resolve the problem if we were to talk about a provision there that said no action that violates state ethics rules, and frankly put the onus on those guys on the ethics committee to manage that aspect of this policy. Senator McGuire.
And thank you. And if I could just interject before he answers, too, to point out that for me, I think that's an excellent point. I know in the way that I communicate that I'm not going to be endorsing private, like, for example, you know, entities, but it's the nonprofit area. And you know myself that I was just involved in an action with APOC, which I won on First Amendment grounds, that is near and dear to my heart. And that issue pertained to the ability to use campaign funds to advertise in nonprofit ways, if you will, and donating to the head injury and Special Olympics of Alaska as a method of promoting your campaign. And I won that case, and I stand by that case as a matter of First Amendment issues. Similarly, if you've got a nonprofit, as I gave the example of Girl Scouts, et cetera, and you're trying to support your community and encourage other neighbors to go to that, that's where I take issue. So as you are framing your response, that's the heart of my concern.
Mr. Gardner, sir.
Through the chair, Senator McGuire, you know, I think that the response ought to be a pretty short one, and I think that the ethics, you should, I guess I concur with the chair that an ethics reference is probably the way to deal with that. There are many, many combinations of facts that may lead to an ethics issue, and I don't know that any policy could take those all into account. So I really think that's, in the end, any issue that's related to the use of the state computer for what the Ethics Committee perceives to be some type of a private benefit will be up to them anyway and to decide, the committee. And I think it should, I guess I agree with the chair's comment, some simple statement putting, highlighting the obligation under the ethics statute is probably the way to handle it.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. I have a member of the Ethics Committee here that would like to speak. Representative Johnson, sir, then Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think you may have misinterpreted what the Ethics Committee does. It's going to take the policy or the statute that we present, and it's going to fit the actions inside that policy and declare if it is or isn't an ethics violation. To say it's going to interpret this and help formulate this, I think is a little misunderstanding as to how they function. If we don't have a very clear policy, very well written, that's vague, then the Ethics Committee will make a decision on whether or not they interpret it as inside or out. But if we, they I just can't see them getting involved in establishing a policy. They're going to interpret what the actions of an individual based against the statute, based against the policy, and make a decision. So I wouldn't be depending on the Ethics Committee to weigh in too heavily on this.
So we have an orphan child here.
I think so. And Mr. Chairman, if I could add one more thing. I just want to point out that both the Democratic and Republican Party are nonprofit organizations.
Senator Machicki.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. My comments were going to be, I mean, my Facebook site is a community page as well, and when there's a fundraiser for an injured person or there's an Easter egg hunt at the Ford dealership, if it's the only one in town, I'll often list that event on my site. So I think it's who defines whether or not there's a financial, commercial, or other sort of gain when it's a community event that happens to be at a private, on a private piece of property.
you know, we start to see why this social media policy has plagued this committee for several iterations of the committee. It is a complex issue, very well. Ms. Lucky.
And if I might, this is, I would suggest, probably the crux of the difficulty is once you allow state resources to be used for this updating the Facebook pages, which is what we're talking about here, is allowing legislative staff to use a state computer, then we would need to comply with the ethics code, which you have your own personal standards of, you know, we all have to comply with the ethics code. This is now saying what you can and cannot use state resources for. I will mention that the nonprofit section was actually an amendment made at the IT subcommittee level. That was not something that the guidelines and the policy were run through legislative ethics, and unfortunately Joyce could not be on teleconference today. She's out of state, so we cannot get her interpretation of that, but the words nonprofit were added. At this point, we could look, I do not have the ethics handbook with me, so I can't say exactly what the ethics handbook says. Most of the language of this section regarding a private benefit to a person was taken out of the standards of conduct handbook that we're given during our annual ethics training. But like I said, the words nonprofit were added at the IT subcommittee level. A possible fix to this would be to just say any action that would violate the ethics code, and we could put a statutory reference in there. I would agree that having secondary information and trying to process this code versus that code as opposed to a statutory reference, which I think draws a clear line of what has been interpreted by the Ethics Committee, it does get a little bit messy when you have duplicative language. What we are trying to define with the policy was to make it very clear when somebody reads the policy what they can and cannot do without necessarily trying to cross-reference into this policy and that policy. So that's why I think there's a lot of language that probably is mirrored somewhere else, but you could take care of that by just putting in a reference that says any action that would, you know, violate our standards of conduct as defined in the statute.
We have Representative Stoltz and then Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Chairman Hocker. I'll just preface, I've had concerns about entry into Facebook, and I think at times I might have been the Lone Ranger on some of the votes opposing being involved because of the slopes, whether they're slippery or recreational or directional, with all the other slopes. And there were some stated testimony by staff of what the intent was and what was allowable, including compiling campaign lists. I've had concerns about that. I also want to say I don't think it would have been very useful to have Ms. Anderson testify. First of all, it would have been a meaningless testimony. Nothing she would have said would have been enforceable as an opinion of the Ethics Committee. It might have misguided us down one of those slopes that has a big precipice. And I think we need to rely on combination of statutes and your best guess at the vagaries of the decisions that the committee will come up with.
Representative Greenberg, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems to me that one of the central questions, at least to my mind, and I haven't been involved with this, is who is to enforce this policy? Can somebody answer that?
And through the chair, Representative Greenberg, I believe for any ethics violation that would we didn't set up a body to enforce the policy. We have many policies that we have adopted. I'm not quite sure, like the computer use policy, if there's an enforcement per se other than the ethics. Well, and I don't know if Curtis would like to comment on that, but other than when I crafted the policy and in looking at what was done in other states, it seemed that it was generally up to the ethics body. So somebody would create a complaint just like they would for any other ethical violation, and it would go through the process.
Mr. Chair, if I may continue.
Please continue.
I think that it's important, if we're going to have this enforceable, to state somewhere who is to enforce it, who has jurisdiction to enforce it. And if indeed it is to be the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, we might have to look to the Ethics Act to be sure that that doesn't have to be amended to give them jurisdiction over this sort of a thing. And if in fact they are going to be tasked with enforcing it, then we should have some input from them on how they think this should be to make it fair, workable, and in accord with their other duties. And that's just my comment.
And Representative Wilson, could I get Julie's response here first, if you might?
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg, when I talked to Joyce from Ethics, I think that any ethical violations they would be able to, they would have the jurisdiction for, because they would be violations of their code. What we're talking about with the policy, and I think this is important to point out, is that the IT subcommittee felt that we could only police basically the actions of staff when using it on the state computers. There are lots of things that legislators can do on their private time from their home computer on Facebook that we could not enforce. Therefore, the recourse we would have would be to stop the access from the state account. I believe that is the only recourse we would have, which would be done through our legislative affairs IT. It gets a little difficult because the IT subcommittee felt that the policy should be in place prior to allowing legislative staff access from legislative computers. And so therefore, the recourse, if you broke the legislature's portion of the policy, would be that your privilege to access Facebook from a computer would be revoked. However, if you also had an ethical violation, then that could be taken up as a complaint with the Ethics Committee, and I believe that would be handled under their current complaint procedure, because it would already be an ethical violation.
May I respond?
Representative Grunberg.
I understand now where you're going, and my suggestion offhand would be that should be set forth here, that the enforcement of this would be the use or non-ability to use the state equipment. And if there's any ethical violations, that would have to be referred to and handled by the Ethics Committee. That would answer my question. I think it's important that people know what the consequences are and cannot be.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg, how we tried to do that is in the draft policy, it does say the appropriate use of social media for legislators, legislative agencies, and their staff when using state resources to access or maintain social media accounts. And then this is not actually in the policy, but if you look in the form, the draft form that was provided that an employee would have to sign in order to get access, it does say, by signing below, I am acknowledging I have reviewed the form, the Alaska Legislature's social media policy, which is what we're talking about adopting, the computer systems use acceptable policy and standards of conduct handbook. I understand that using social media websites in violation of these policies may result in suspension of access or an ethical complaint, and that an ethical violation may result in the imposition of fines and or termination for employment. So I understand where you're coming from. I guess there's two different issues, and the policy was meant to govern social media as an umbrella, not just Facebook. There are other social media, I believe, I'm not very social media savvy, which I know might come as a shock to some of you, but I don't do Twitter, I don't do LinkedIn. The only thing, from what I understand, that is currently blocked is Facebook. So the IT subcommittee, it's kind of hard to get your head around sometimes that the social media policy was meant to be more of an umbrella to apply to social media and give some guidelines and some acceptable uses, whereas the Facebook form would be something when you were accessing from a state computer, you would sign this form and you would acknowledge that that you might be fired or that your access might be terminated. But I can see the wisdom in putting that also into the policy, because the other social media people won't be filling out a form in order to access.
If I may just finally, that's good. I think it's really important that people clearly understand not only what they can and cannot do, but the consequences.
Representative Wilson, ma'am.
Julie took care of it.
Oh, thank you. Representative Stoltz?
No, I'm good. Just some of the newer members, we usually go through the chair.
All's good.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might, I do want to point out that the IT subcommittee saw this as basically three separate decisions that it would be in front of the council. You can allow access to Facebook for legislators and the IT folks and the media folks as is currently here without adopting a policy. You could adopt a policy and then still not allow access to Facebook, and then setting up Facebook accounts for legislative agencies might be seen as a totally separate issue. And so we felt that if you were going to be opening up more staff to Facebook and allowing more access to social media, that you should consider adopting the policy to put some bright guidelines so that staff isn't violating ethics policies or acceptable use policies without really knowing it, that they don't just go off and sit. There's a lot of common sense to it, but the ethics laws do apply to us, and sometimes people do things without thinking about the impacts, and so that's why they were offered in concert. However, one of them is not actually dependent upon the other.
Well, from my position as chair here, again, this is the third time we've met as this committee in the 28th legislature, so we've got a new group of people. We're all getting up to speed on these issues that have, for some of you who have been long-term committee members, have got a deep history with these. For some of us, these are new topics on our discussion list. In my initial meeting, I indicated that this was a policy issue as discussed in detail here that has been on the table that I would like to see personally resolved soon, but I want to do it in a proper and expeditious manner. With the indulgence of the committee, my thought is that we one more time set aside taking any formal action, but we ask Ms. Lucky and the IT subcommittee to continue to work with Mr. Gardner, our ethics people, take into consideration the comments that have been made at this committee, bring forward a revised social media policy we said the three issues here, access to Facebook. We would then, at our next meeting, address, or let's say, the next meeting in which we bring this up, we address and hopefully bring finality to the access to Facebook issue, the overall policy question, and the access of agencies to Facebook. I know we have all of our agencies, the ombudsman, the auditors who, I think Chris is probably back there looking daggers at me at the moment, the victims' rights and ethics. All of these agencies want access to Facebook, but I'm a little concerned about making an ad hoc decision here without a more comprehensive policy structure behind it. Would throw that thought out for, again, a further deferral to the committee for your thought and concurrence. Representative Johnson, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think I heard it in there, but I think there may be a fourth option, and that's to deny access to Facebook to anyone.
That is the access to Facebook issue. Yes, that is.
So, and my question is, if that is where we end up, why are we going to have the policy committee working on it if we could determine today that we are not going to have it? So, if we could just... We seem to me like we have a technology policy group working that may or may not ever be able to present if we decide not to have that policy. So
Representative Johnson, with making sure that I have my concurrence from my IT subcommittee, but to my understanding, the state does allow access currently to a number of forms of social media. So the policy is an umbrella policy that goes beyond Facebook, but it goes to these other social media outlets, whatever the right word for them would be, providers that are in fact currently allowed by prior legislative council policy.
Point taken, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
And if I might, Representative Hawker, Chairman Hawker, Representative Johnson.
I would be representative boss to you.
One of the discussion points by the IT subcommittee was whether or not an overreaching policy was necessary, because we do have our ethics laws, and I think that, as Senator McGuire pointed out, it is up to each of us individually to understand those and to abide by those in all in all forms, whether it be on social media or using email to conduct state business and making sure that we have adequately done our record requirement. And so there is a discussion about whether or not an umbrella policy is adding another layer of something that we just have to read, where the overreaching document should be the ethics or standards of conduct. And so that is, I think it's a good point, is whether or not you allow that policy. But I think then again, the second question is, at this point, access to Facebook is limited to legislators and the media department. Staff can access by getting onto their, it's not done by person, it's done by computer. So a staff member can go onto a computer and do that. So the question still remains, with or without the policy, what do you do with regard to access to Facebook? There are some legitimate needs that have been brought up by the various agencies about they have to go to a personal computer to look up. Somebody has an ethics complaint and calls up our ethics office and says, well, I saw this on the Facebook, and right now our ethics office can't even look at that. They have to say, well, can you make a PDF and send it to me? Or I know the Office of Victims' Rights, and I won't speak for the Ombudsman, as I believe that she is here on teleconference, but the Office of Victims' Rights has gotten calls from the victims that say, well, somebody is not abiding by the terms of their release. I saw them post this on Facebook, and can you look into that? And they say, well, can you send me the Facebook page so that we can continue to access that? And I'm not arguing for or against. What I'm saying is these are the reasons that have been brought up by the agencies in order to access Facebook.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson, then
I think I've just had my pocket picked. As I attend meetings at groups like CSG West, and this has been a topic about this, one of the things they clearly state, and this is whether we vote on it or not, if we're going to do it, we need to have a policy up front. There have been lawsuits and privacy issues and just nightmares about people using Facebook and these things without the policy. And so if we're going to do it, we definitely need a policy. The question is, in my mind, is whether we do it or not.
And that's and Representative Johnson, I firmly agree that that is something that if we wanted to today, we could very much take a vote and simply say there shall be no access to Facebook from legislative computers. That's certainly a question that could be resolved by this committee, yay or nay, in an up or down vote. Senator Michicki.
Yeah, I mean, to me it seems like there are two issues. There's sort of a, I don't want to say hourly or salary issue or those that are legislators, but I can tell you that I'm already convinced by the breadth of this discussion that my staff has no reason to be on Facebook, and maybe it's just because I'm brand new, but I can't imagine us having the time to be on Facebook. And I think there is a slippery slope. If there's Facebook access for a legislative page, there's Facebook access in another life. I've seen employees become somewhat addicted to Facebook and spend a whole bunch of time on it. So that decision's easy for me as far as my employees go, our employees go in my office. So I think the question is, for me, do we need a policy for legislators that are accessing it? And if that's the case, I'd certainly be willing to eliminate access to Facebook in this building, but that's just one opinion.
Representative Pruitt.
Thank you, Chairman Hocker. You know, it's funny. Facebook can be, and for many of us, is a means of communication with our constituents, with our friends, our neighbors. But I recognize, of course, the concern that we have with potentially allowing, for instance, I think one piece of this mentions a limited personal or incidental uses. Is there anything that states that maybe for each office you're limited to access on your computers to a specific Facebook site related to the office? For instance, a Representative Lance Pruitt office, or a Representative Craig Johnson, or Facebook page, or Representative Craig Johnson, so that you don't have the situations where I may have a staff or three staff, or Senator Meyer may have staff who are accessing it above and beyond, with the concern being not that Senator Meyer or myself couldn't manage our own staff, but that staff may, under the guidelines of limited personal or incidental use, may say, hey, there's a fundraiser tonight, please go to it for, and become a partisan issue, which I think is what we're trying to prevent. If we limited it to just a staff Facebook page to keep the communication to, with the constituents, would that be something that would be acceptable for us, at least for legislators, and then maybe we have to handle the Office of Victims' Rights and the Ombudsman and those individuals maybe a little bit different, but at least for us and some of the concerns that we're facing, would that potentially be a way to take care of that concern?
And Senator McGuire, I apologize. I think I skipped over you there with apologies.
No worries. I think of anything that comes to concern for me is the point that was made about the Office of Victims' Rights and a limitation on their investigatory powers. That's just something that piqued my curiosity. I had not thought about that, that if there's a potential stalking issue, that OVR would not be able to pull up that site and immediately gain access to resolve that issue. I don't like that. This issue about the legislature accessing and so on, I kind of feel like we've talked it around, and I don't, I personally, with all respect, I don't feel like it's matured to the point to move on. I would be comfortable voting it down today, just in the sense that I think for the reasons that Senator Machicki pointed out and the reasons that Representative Johnson pointed out, I think it's a can of worms, and I also think there's a whole lot of time spent on it that might be spent otherwise. I have found a way around it. I think offices that want to use it have found a way around it. I certainly don't want to now find myself in a circumstance where my communication is limited with my community, and I don't think Senator Machicki does either. So I think it would have to be fleshed out. I don't know that we have the time to work on it right now. But with respect to the state agencies, I would love to hear more about how OVR and our ombudsman need, and perhaps it's a matter of carving out exceptions for them. If it's an investigatory tool, absolutely. I don't think that we want the victims necessarily making Facebook their primary means of communication. In general, I think we'd rather them make a more formal process. But certainly if it's an investigatory tool, I think they need that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator McGuire, to that point, the Office of Victims' Rights has not asked to have a page in which they would communicate with victims. What they have requested is, and it's the same with legislative ethics, what they have requested is to be able to have access in order to act on, if they get a call in the office and says somebody put something on their Facebook page.
Got it.
However, just for full disclosure, legislative audit has asked to have a presence, and the ombudsman has also asked to have a presence, and I believe those are, I don't want to put words in their mouth for, but what they put in their writing is for hiring purposes, for outreach purposes. Those agencies do have reports that they put out to the public, and they feel that that is a good medium to put that information out. Another thing that I might bring up is that those, and this is in the documents as well, well, I do want to back up once to the employee use policy because it was highlighted. What we did say was in limited personal or incidental use at the discretion of their supervisor. The IT subcommittee had discussed various methods for allowing staff access. What was recommended is it leaves all of the discretion with the supervisor and all of the authority. You never have to sign a form and allow any of your staff to use it. However, it was seen as far-reaching as there are legislators who do have Facebook and use it as a primary means of communicating, maybe with their younger constituents or their tech-savvy constituents. We felt at the IT subcommittee level that it wasn't our place to necessarily bar their ability to use their staff to do that sort of outreach. And that's why we had recommended that a form be used, the legislator or the agency director would have to sign off on every single staff that would be allowed access, and that the legislator or agency director would be able to set whatever policy that they wanted to, and it could be you cannot be on any page other than mine. The difficulty, I think, technically comes in policing that, because I believe once you get on Facebook, it is difficult to tell where someone goes from there. So while information services can tell you are on the Facebook site, I don't think there's any way for them to tell if you looked at the KTUU site versus your, you know, pictures of puppies or what might be out there. So it was felt that each supervisor knows their staff, each supervisor knows their needs. There is nothing that allows any staff to get on to Facebook without the express written signature and authorization from their legislator. And there is also, many of the news outlets do have Facebook pages where their breaking news comes out. I know that my husband, who is an active Facebook user, always knows what's going on before I do because the Facebook alerts come out. So there was a staff has also brought up that that allows them to be ahead of the breaking news, things in their district. I believe there was one LIO that the city that they were in was only putting out weather alerts on Facebook. And so their inability to at least get onto Facebook to look at these things that were coming out really hampered their ability to be, you know, current with these official communications. I'm not suggesting that we use those as official communications, but I'm trying to reiterate some of the needs that people have said to me while we're going through this process.
So what we're going to do at the moment is we'll set aside this issue for further consideration at a later date, unspecified later date, but we will be continuing to loop back to it as time progresses here. And quite frankly, the agencies that are interested in Facebook access, I think it would, if you can get an audience with the various members of this committee that you've heard express positions, it would probably be a good time to talk to members of this committee. But again, and it'll be through the chair that we bring forward whatever proposal comes forward to the committee. Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I've been in finance all day. Right now we have a policy which has expired, and we were looking at ancillary policies to add to that and potentially renewing it, and we're delaying that. When this comes back, it could be the range of possibilities and include eliminating the policy of Facebook as well. Is that a correct reading of our range of possibilities?
Well, I guess where I heard you, with apologies, I barely heard what you were saying, but you referenced expired. The standards and procedures that exist currently obviously are still in force until they are changed by this legislative council, as those policies and procedures are durable. They last from one legislative council to another.
And my question, Mr. Chair, is is it your intent that we I was listening to the direction of the vice chair, and it's been a position I've had in the past, and I was encouraged. There's a couple more of us now. It's a possibility of actually deleting a lot of this debate and having a motion to just eliminate interaction with Facebook.
And I would very much entertain that motion if that if someone would like to make that motion.
I couldn't hear.
Representative Stoltz, could you state clearly what and a little bit straight into your microphone. I was having a hard time as well.
I'm not going to make that motion today because I want some deliberation. I know how I'd vote today, but I think some people weren't prepared. But I was going to say the bathwater is kind of dirty. Let's drain the tub, but not throw out the baby. No, it's. I would like to look at the possibility of just. Not worrying about all the ancillary issues involving Facebook, but just eliminate involvement with this social media since we're in a business/work environment. But I would defer.
That's a motion that I'm happy to entertain right here. This committee can make that decision at this moment.
I so move.
And
to rescind.
Okay, we have a motion and objection. And we could have Representative Stoltz or Representative Johnson clearly state the motion before the committee.
Go ahead. Sure. I hadn't thought about this today, but I move that the Legislative Council rescind the previous action that provided for legislative access to the use of Facebook using state resources, equipment, and other state benefits.
A clarifying point that it would be that the motion before this council would be to not allow Facebook access by either legislators or state agencies from legislative computers. Because we obviously can't control private property.
Correct.
So the question, I would just like to restate it. The question before the committee is that we not allow legislators or agencies, state agencies, access to Facebook from state legislative computers.
And Mr. Chairman?
Representative.
Just for clarification by legislators, cover the whole legislator's office by definition?
That would be the entire legislative branch of government.
Okay, good enough. I want to make sure I heard.
And so we have the question. We have objection. Discussion. Senator Michiki.
I'm not sure how you do a friendly amendment, but I always try to be courteous of how things are doing or how folks are doing things. I was just wondering if the person making the motion would consider the effective date being the end of the 2013 session.
Okay, we're back on record at Ledge Council. For our secretary's reference, we have retained a quorum, obviously. During the break, I'd like to say for the public that there was just a lot of sidebar conversation on the amendment being proposed, as it was an amendment in the committee, some concerns about the history behind it. And I think what is before us now, as I'd like to return the floor to Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With no diminution of my ongoing concerns about Facebook policy, potential misuses, and I would like to withdraw my amendment to allow for more thoughtful consideration with all the permutations and ramifications.
And thank you, Representative Stoltz. The motion has been withdrawn, again, without any of us prejudicing an opinion or making any comment whatsoever on that amendment. I keep saying I'm in the middle of bills, too, that motion. As a statement of historic perspective, this whole issue of social policy and Facebook specifically, we go back to a prior legislative council meeting, which was, is that February 3rd, Julie?
Right.
Make sure I got the right page.
Mm-hmm. February 3rd.
Okay. February 3rd, 2011, there was a motion that carried in front of this committee, made by Representative Heron, then a member. Keep in mind that date, February 3rd, 2011. He moved that the Legislative Council approve a one-year trial period allowing each legislator access to Facebook for legislative business only. In addition, the House and Senate majority and minority press, webmasters, and help desk staff will have access to Facebook. I would ask the unanimous consent, and that was a one-year. That has obviously expired back in 2012 and was not resolved by this legislative committee, which is why I had a priority to try to get it resolved. I would ask the unanimous consent of this committee to allow me as chair to extend that trial period for whatever time it takes us to bring back to the committee again another iteration of a more formal policy and discussion.
Yes, sir.
So that we are in fact operating that the current status quo in the legislature that has been allowed to operate without any sanction from this committee be allowed to continue forward until we can resolve this issue, yay or nay, at a later meeting.
Mr. Chairman?
I'll take that as an objection, Representative Stoltz.
And I'll remove my objection after briefly making a comment. I understand the dilemma you've put in. You've been put in with the historical precedents, and it's not a comfortable one, and it's acknowledged that you didn't create this situation. But I'm far too busy with, we're going to have oil taxes, gas line bills, gas trucking, and a lot of other things. I can't prioritize spending a lot of time, but I would like to know, is sometime this summer perhaps as a target, is that a realistic goal?
Representative Stoltz said I was really careful to make sure I said this was not necessarily going to come at the next meeting. I agree. We have many things to accomplish in this building. We're just going to have to set this issue aside, and those agencies that want access are going to just have to park on it for a while, and we will get back to them with our executive decision when we can get back there. Yes, I very much agree with you.
I'll withdraw my objection.
Representative
Hall, the question.
My question is more of a procedural one, Mr. Chair. Since the full committee passed the original motion.
Representative Grunberg, I have no idea how the vote count went.
I thought it was. Oh,
I voted no.
No. What I meant was, since it was a motion to the committee, should not the committee grant the extension?
That's what you asked for.
Representative Grunberg, as I stated, I was asking unanimous consent of this committee to empower the legislative committee's chair to authorize that extension. Someone has to contact and be the point of contact for the agencies. I'm requesting the concurrence of this committee to take that action.
That's fine.
So, is there objection? Hearing no objection, thank you very much. Facebook remains an issue in the Alaska State Legislature. Second only to oil taxes.
Yes.
And I know we want to keep moving here. Senator Stevens, you've got a request of the committee. I'd like to give you 2 seconds or two minutes or all the time you would like to present your request, which...
Well, let me explain to the committee how this transpired and why you have a memo in front of you. President Hawker, as chair, laid out his plans for this 2 years as his chairmanship and asked if anybody wanted to add anything to that, and I foolishly said the security of the building and thought that then Representative Hawker would take care of it from there. But unfortunately, every time I met Hawker, he would say, what have you done about it? And it wasn't my intention to do anything about it, just to raise the issue. So this is the result. Well, I would say to begin with that the Senate has been working in the last 2 months and busily meeting, and several members have mentioned to me that they're concerned about the unsavory and dangerous people they have seen in the building. Unfortunately, all of those turned out to be members of the House.
Object, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, so does the chair.
Okay, so let's get serious.
I'm about to gavel him out.
The issue here is, we're very proud of our building and the fact that we have open access, and I think everyone wants to keep open access. But as I've talked to people, particularly the security folks, I know there's some concern about maybe the quality of our security cameras, and maybe we should be looking and at least talking about, are there things we want to do? Maybe we don't want to do anything. Maybe we're going to leave it just the way it is. But I think there's some dangers there. There's some violence out there. I think we feel secure here in Juneau because it's a safe community. If it were elsewhere, we might be more concerned about security of the building. So there are a lot of options out there we should be looking at, thinking about, and I just recommend that we appoint this committee to give a report, to come back with a recommendation by the end of session as to whether we do nothing or do something or think about some of these other options that might be available to us.
Senator Stevens, as chair, I very much concur and accept your request to appoint the subcommittee. If I might ask anyone on this committee that would like to sit on that subcommittee, or any other, and I'd like to keep, we will look at appropriate security personnel and legislators, but any legislator in the building who would desire to serve on that committee, please contact my office and we will put together and appoint that subcommittee. So, Representative Stoltz.
Thanks. Except for Representative Stoltz, could we?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
We've both had a long day.
The definition of security might have different meanings, as we've seen from some of our debates. They might mean we already have signs that say no guns, whether it might be a young female employee who has to walk down Franklin Street after a long night of work but is prohibited from carrying a gun to protect themselves. And I don't want to go into what other venues might be safer than here, because that'd be a whole other discussion. But I think security can take on a lot of permutations of how we can allow our employees to better defend themselves. And I think it's that would be a worthy discussion for that committee to have. We now have those signs on the entrances of our building that are a little bit inconsistent with some of the legislative actions we've been taking.
Senator Stoltz, I agree that is something that should be considered in this conversation, but what I would also ask is that we consider that security matters within the state facility system are items that do qualify for discussing in executive session by statute, and specifically because they are such a sensitive issue. So as we come back together for this dialogue, we will be taking up the discussion of the definition of security, the scope of our considerations and concern in executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. I have just a couple comments, and I know it's getting late, but I did want to make, and things that we do have underway here. One, it was brought to my attention that there was some question about subcommittees appointed by previous chairs of this committee, whether they continued in force. No, again, like all of our committees in the legislature, subcommittees previously appointed, unless they have been reappointed, are no longer in force and in effect. We have also, we are establishing a Ledge Council link on the state's internet websites because it's really hard to find the information, things like our minutes and other. We've got a couple of major projects coming that we are going to want to be sure are available to the public. One of those in particular is the status of the envelope restoration of this building. Folks remember that this committee in August 2012 approved a contract with a gentleman, an architect named Paul Lucas, for an evaluation study. That report is completed, and we have copies of that here with us today for everyone. It's a lengthy, detailed report. At the December 2012 Legislative Council meeting, the Legislative Council said to it was you all, or a bunch of other legislators at the time, I was not here, some of you were, also approved a project design services contract based on the Paul Lucas evaluation study to be completed and brought to bid. Phase one of that has been issued as an intent to bid. It was issued 314 of 2013. It is the work to be completed this summer on the portico of the Capitol. We've all seen the temporary wooden supports out there. That ITB was issued. When we get our respondents back in, it's due, I believe it's April 5th, 2013. We will, and I realize it's reaching towards end of session, but in order to keep that project moving forward, we'll be having a meeting hopefully around next April 9th and bring forward a proposal to approve a selection of a bidder under that intent to bid that is now on the street. Jensen Yorbalat is living, also following through with the commitment that, or the contract that was let to them in December, developing the second ITB, which would be for the greater design of the rest of the Capitol envelope restoration. The Paul Lucas study that is available, and I don't know, Julie, wherever it's at, we'll make sure everybody can get a copy on the way out of here tonight, is they should be identify three options. I took the three options to the subcommittee steering committee that we established at the last Ledge Council committee meeting, that we agreed very clearly and concurred with the architect and engineers, both the structural and the restoration architect and Jensen Yorbalat, that there was clearly one of those choices was the most efficacious, long-term benefit, greatest bang for the money route forward. That's option two. And so at this time, Jensen Yorbalat is moving forward to develop an ITB for the full restoration of the exterior of this Capitol using option two in the Paul Lucas evaluation study that's being distributed. And I know I'm just kind of hitting this quick to folks. I'm not trying to shut down conversation, but I know it's late, but it's important for the committee to be kept appraised of what we're doing. We also are starting to have conversations. We've got the Anchorage LIO lease extension lease issue. Our subcommittee steering that project will be starting to have some informal conversations and discussions with folks that have responded to the prior request for information on that project. And we hope to be bringing forward at a very near-term meeting some concrete thoughts and proposals to move forward on what we're going to be doing with the Anchorage LIO building. Legislature's budget. Our good friends in the House Finance Committee took the budget that we brought forward. Being the House, we took a little money off that budget. They're kind of conservative folks over there. The same budget that we moved out of here was accepted by the Senate, so that will now move on to conference committee for resolution in the greater budget process. Then we get to the last item on my list. Pam Varney, could you get you for a second forward? Members of the committee and anyone that is following this in the state and at the legislature, this is kind of one of those momentous moments for us because this is Pam Varney's 35th anniversary of her employment with the state legislature. And Pam, I can only imagine what it's been like trying to handle legislators for 35 years.
It's been a joy, Mr. Chairman, really. That's why I'm still here.
But sincerely, myself, on behalf of the Legislative Council, of course, we are the executive committee that runs the state legislature. Your people, I mean, Pam has been in her current role as the executive director at the Legislative Affairs Agency, runs everything from those iTech guys to keeping the hallways clean in this building, to taking care of every little thing that every legislator wants in this Capitol building. It's a daunting task, and Pam, myself, and on behalf of this committee and the entire state legislature, I would really want to congratulate you on that 35 years of service, and thank you so very much for all you've given to the legislature.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, just for a quick comment. My ears are plugged up because of the cold I have. Did you say it was a joy or it was a job? Because it could be two of the things.
It's been both.
But again, is there any further comment? But I would also note that, Pam, some of your friends, you've got a couple of us around here, and your colleagues and associates in the LAA would ask after this meeting if you could come down to the speaker's chambers where we actually have a little reception to say thank you for 35 years of service.
Thank you. I was not expecting this at all. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Members of the committee, we'd certainly like to have everyone there along with all the members of the LAA and folks that have put together this celebration of Pam. It's a short celebration. It's not an all-night party. It's just a short recognition of your service. So, is there further business to come before the Legislative Council tonight? Hearings? Senator Bachicki?
No, thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Hearing, see none, we stand in adjournment.